therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Boy, was I welcomed back with open arms this morning for being gone for a few days. Mr. Compo, you... you didn't do well on your substitution here. You did not hit the right button. So I was getting texts and Kotzebue about it. But thank you. Thank you. And Jen Yuha, she did a great job. But thank you, everyone, for helping me out while I was gone. Had a Lask Housing Finance Corporation board meeting in Kotzebue, and once a year we do an annual one where we go out into the outlying rural Alaska and have a meeting out there, and it was Kotzebue, and we did a ribbon cutting on a 12-plex that were involved in the financing out there. So it was fun, enjoyed it. We had our election on Tuesday, and no one won Dave's lottery. No one predicted that JKT would be number one. We had 23 people, and the majority of people thought that Begich would be the number one, with Wilson number two. And then a sort of, you know, you had a lot of Bishop, Bronson, Crum in number three, and then the same, JKT in number four position. But congratulations to everyone who won, ran. Really, just want to let's get to that and enjoy that. You know, it's not easy running for a elected position, and you know, on Wednesday morning, everyone wakes up and says, "Boy, I didn't expect that," or "I did expect that." Now, who were the closest? Who picked the top four? There's only two people who picked the top four. And I think that we had a local spoiler. Many people thought that Bishop would be in the top four, and he wasn't in the top four. And he was usually two or three, maybe fourth. But only two people chose, and not in order, of the top four. And one was Libby Dalton Slane. She predicted Begich number one, Wilson number two, Bronson number three, and JKT number four. And then I was the only other person who predicted the top four. I predicted Begich number one, Wilson number two, JKT number three, and Bronson number four. So I only got number four right, and Libby didn't get any of them right, but she got the top four, not in order. And I got the right order with only the number four, Bronson. You know, I thought that no one was expecting JKT to win. And, you know, he got 21%. Baggage, surprising, came in number two. Then Wilson was going to be in the top two or three. I thought she'd be in the top two. So she underperformed. She underperformed by a great extent. And Bronson came in right where I thought he would be. Actually, right where I thought he would be. And a lot of people had him third or fourth. And so Bronson showed up right where he thought he would be. JKT performed better than everyone thought. Begich and Wilson performed less. I mean, literally less than everyone thought. So it was interesting. On my way down to Anchorage, I get on the plane, and there's the chairman of the Democratic Party, a gentleman I know. We're friendly with each other. We've shared many conversations and many social settings. And knew him well before he was that position. Asked him where he was going. I said, I'm going to Kotzebue. Where you're going? And he said, Ketchikan. So I sat in my seat and I go, hold it. The chairman of the Democratic Party is going to Ketchikan on the day of the election. And who's from Ketchikan? Why, JKT. Now, this person was a chairman of the Democratic Party when he arranged the combination of the Walker and Mlott for governor when they beat Parnell re-election. That's what did it. So my thought is, okay, he's going down to Ketchikan. He's probably looking to see if JKT would be want to be, my thought at that time, was lieutenant governor. Ah, good. Hey, I'd be thinking the same thing. Put together the super group, your top two. Get them in there. But JKT was a spoiler of that. So now the question is, will Begich in a combined pair, will Begich acquiesce to be number two? I mean, this is going to get interesting. And so if we're looking at that, you know, you're looking at people bowing out and becoming a number two there. Begich would have to bow out of the race and agree to be number two. And Hlinka, you know, JKT's person, don't even know who that is, to tell you the truth, his lieutenant governor. Hlinka would have to agree to not be on any ticket. And the person with JKT's would have to agree, this lieutenant governor would have to agree to bow out. So that makes me think about the Republican side of the equation. Does Wilson, who massively underperformed, does she have the horses to really represent the Republican Party, or should she bow out or look at being Bronson's number two lieutenant governor? Because, you know, I look at this and Bernadette Wilson spent a lot more money and was in it for a lot more time and was looking at like at about a 15 to 18 percentile. Bronson got into it late, did not spend nearly as much, and did the best for the money that was spent when you look at it. So now, boy, this is great. I mean, boy, the ego is involved in this. Fairbanks, this is going to be entertainment till we really, will this happen? My thought would be put your egos aside. Begich, join up with JKT. Wilson, Bernadette, put your ego aside. Bow out. Keep Church as the lieutenant governor. You got to bow out. Underperform, spent more money than any other Republican. I wouldn't say that, but you were the underperformer. Out of all this, you were the underperformer. Step aside. Yeah. Anyway. And how do you do this? You know, is there a time frame where you can step out and not allow the person who came in fifth, which was Click Bishop, who also underperformed, in the way that Nancy Dahlstrom did it for Nick Begich. In the last election, Nick Begich and Nancy Dahlstrom, they had a combined, about 44% of the vote, 43% of the vote. Whereas Mary Pattola, the last time, she had 51% in the primary. So let's go to that right now, U.S. Senate. The four people in order were Pattola, 48%, Dan S. Sullivan, 43%, Decoy Dan of 42%, and David Leslie. Congratulations to David Leslie, local. He'll tell you he's a queer candidate, 1.13%, and he barely beat Gerald Hikes, Republican, of 1.2%. But Mary Pattola, in the 2024 primary, she got 51%. So she's a descending candidate. You know, the Decoy Dan, that worked, but I'd say 70-30% will go to the regular Dan versus, you know, a mistake versus a Decoy Dan. And so if I was Dan S. Sullivan, the senator, I even texted him, said, "Hey, you're looking good." Mary Pattola, she did worse in this primary. And I think everyone sort of realizes the Decoy Dan portion now. Gotta be careful. Everyone has had their run through. David Leslie, congratulations. Hey, 1.13%, guess what? You, as a Fairbanks area person, you're on the state election, man. Congratulations on that. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox, you're with Jasper Hickman of Sultan, Washington, and fish on the leaderboard, stand to win some cash prizes. What would you do with cash if you won it here in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby?
Well, I think we kind of went in the trip as a group. My buddy Jason Sack ran the whole thing, put us all together. Normally, for some Derby prize-winning stuff, we split it amongst the crew. I'm sure the captain and Bo will see some money come back their way as well.
Clee, you've been to Valdez before. How does this trip rate?
This trip has been fantastic. It's been on my list for a long time. Gulf of Alaska is beautiful, and we nailed the weather, right? It's stunningly beautiful up here. So me and the fellows have been in a few Derbies, you know, across, you know, from Mexico, Hawaii, Washington State, Costa Rica. So we've been around a little bit, too.
Well, nice. What is it you like about this fishing or this derby?
For one, you couldn't find a more beautiful place on earth. Valdez has been everything I could imagine it would have been, and even more, really. It's, like I said, the coastline's been stunning. The town's been fantastic. You know, we've gone out to dinner. It's been great. Captain and crew has been fantastic to us so far. Again, the marina is awesome. I just love walking around every marina I go to, and this one is one of my favorites I've ever seen. So I don't have enough good things to say about Valdez.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a rental boat and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, Fish Central can process your fish too. Book with Fish Central and get 10% off your processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 907-835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies today with a chance of rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 64. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy tonight. Slight chance of rain showers. Lows dip down to about 47. Slight chance for isolated rain showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 66. Cloudy skies.
And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prisn in the studio here. Hey, talking about the election results that came in on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and with my thoughts and philosophy on this, you know, I'm not going to make some of you happy, and that's just something you're going to have to get over. I'm not running for re-election again, so I get to explain it as I think. And this is what I think. And tell me if I'm wrong. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. You disagree with me, and you think that Bernadette Wooshin should stay in, guess what? We have a line for you to call in. If you think that Begich should stay and not combine forces, give me a call. Let's hear what you have to say. Begich was supposed to win. He didn't win. Bernadette was supposed to be number two. The top Republican, 15 to 18%. Woeful placement. Click Bishop. I wish he would have been number four in there. He didn't. Didn't make it. Matt Halala, thought the world of him. Didn't make it. Great person. Wonderful person. Craig Taylor started too late. He asked me to be his lieutenant governor. I said no. He was a riser, but he didn't have enough time. Spent a lot of money, started too late. Shelley Hughes. You know, I have to start looking at people and say, why did you do this? Shelley Hughes, what were you thinking? Anyway, sorry that you lost your husband during this process. You were a very good U.S. state senator. So I have to look at a lot of people. Why did you do this? You know, you get between 2 and 4%. Why did you do this? Well, because we're America and you get to. So now it's the day after. And I think some people should follow the lead that our Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom did when she came in third place in the 2020 U.S. House Congressman election, and she had about 18%. She looked and said, I will only hurt my party if I stay in this. Tom Begich, if you stay in this, you will most likely only hurt your party unless you combine. Bernadette, it's my opinion, if you stay in this, you will only hurt your party if you stay in. Simple as that. You know, there's 14, 13 Republicans, two strong Democrats, and that was it. Combined, I always said, if they don't get more than 30% combined, they're in trouble. They got 40%. They've got a shot at this. They want a good, strong shot. They have to combine. Republicans, if you want a shot at this, my opinion is, Wilson, you got to drop out. Whether your ego will allow that or not, I don't know. You got to drop out. Hey, I've dropped out of a race before. State House, 2014. I dropped out. Let Greg Bringhurst have an open shot at it. Great guy, good friend of mine. It's a very respectful thing to do. My job was to have a Republican have the best shot. With two Republicans in that race in a primary would not have been good. Back in the old days when you had a closed primary. And this is why we should really, if you want to get rid of this sort of crap, where you have seven people running for governor, 15 people running for U.S. Senate, 16, 15 people running for U.S. House, get rid of ranked choice voting. Vote yes on Proposition 2. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go get download and print off the 25 pages that Proposition 2 is and sort of explain it to everyone because I believe it'll get rid of more of the dark money than the people who put this in there that allows the dark money to come in. But that's a different day. So anyway. So let's look at our local races here. And just do that. You know, we talked about our statewide races. Let's look at our local races here. District 31. You have Maxine Dybert in there, who, she's not effective at all. Let's just be honest. Let's call it what it is. Not effective at all. Voted against a gas line after she voted for it, but yet she got 58% of the vote. Amy Moore never ran for anything before in her life, 38%. Mark Powell, Jonathan Powell Mark, rather. He got 4.5%, 5%. He's sort of the libertarian. If you want to go meet him, you know, between 10 and 3, go over to Mr. Rock and Roll on South Cushman. Anyway, Maxine, you know, you only got 1,560 votes. Overall, you didn't do that well. But, again, it's a primary. And this was a heavily Democratic primary. Remember that. This was a heavy Democratic turnout primary. And how do I know that? You go to District 32, Will Stapp. District 31 had 2,675 people vote. District 32 had 1,700. And Will got, you know, 1,300 of it. So there's a lot of different write-in votes or whatever. Or 1,700 people only voted for other people in there. So District 32, they didn't come out. Republican. So there's going to be more Republicans coming out in the general, I believe. My personal thought. District 33, this is where it gets interesting. You have the incumbent, Mike Prox. You have a Democrat, Pepper McFarland, and you have Barbara Haney, Republican. Barbara was supposed to win this. She had all the help. Tammy Wilson endorsing her. The District 33, all the usual suspects of their officers endorsing her, and she did not beat Mike Prox. So this is where it's going to get interesting. I have a theory here of what should happen, and we're going to discuss it after the break, what should happen. Joy Beth Cottle, she beat Harmony Tomaszewski in District 34, 2,100 to 2,000, 51 to 48%, 52 to 48%. That one is now in play. No one, you know, District 34 is the most red district you have. But Joy Beth ran last time. She ran this time as an independent. She will, if she's elected, she will coalition with the Democrats. Just remember that, but that's her right. But now, she has put District 34 in play. District 35, Ashley Carrick, she got 60%, did better. But she's in the most liberal district in the interior. She should have had about 65%, so, you know, hey, Jeff Rensel, great job. Appreciate what you're doing. And anyway, that's a tough one there. That's the tough one. So Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. We're going to listen to some police, Spirits of the Material World. I was never a police fan, but hey, I don't choose some of this bumper music crap in my purple padded room with the North Korean equipment that Compo had problems with on Tuesday. But hey, here we go. We're going to have some bumper music. Then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials. You want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Vice President J.D. Vance speaking today in his hometown of Middletown, Ohio, in support of the Trump administration's economic agenda.
Not saying it's going to be easy or it's all going to happen overnight, but in just 18 months, we have seen an explosion of rebuilding in the American heartland. We have seen trillions, with a T, trillions of new dollars of investment pour into the United States of America.
Well, President Trump warns that the most crushing economic operation ever against Iran is the war in the Middle East continues to escalate. Tornadoes in Long Island and Queens last night, flooding and severe weather targeting that area of New York. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman's running for New York governor.
We're very, very fortunate, again, that nobody was injured, that there were no casualties. This was a major weather event.
Blakeman has declared a state of emergency last night. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
All eight people aboard a charter aircraft that crashed near a remote radar site in western Alaska were killed, the U.S. military said Thursday, according to the Associated Press. The aircraft went down at Cape Newenham long-range radar site airport, about 450 miles west of Anchorage, the AP reported. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers confirmed in a statement that the flight was chartered by the agency and that two U.S. ACE employees on board were among those killed. The agency said next of kin have been notified and that it is coordinating closely with the appropriate local, state, and federal authorities, adding that additional information would be released as it becomes available and is appropriate to share. The twin-engine Cessna aircraft operated by Security Aviation was chartered to fly from Anchorage to Cape Newenham, located about 40 miles south of Good News Bay, according to Clint Johnson, Alaska chief with the National Transportation Safety Board. The NTSB, Alaska State Troopers, and the Rescue Coordination Center were also
KFAR660.com.
This is the best deal of the year on CF Moto. It's the CF Moto All Cylinders Clearance Event at Alaska Fun Center. Save now with rebates on select CF Motos in stock, including rebates as high as $1,500 on select models. Plus, get financing as low as 0% for 36 months on approved credit. Whether you want a CF Moto side-by-side, CF Moto ATV, or CF Moto motorcycle, now's the time to buy. Alaska Fun Center, 1817 College Road. The fun starts here.
In Alaska, trust matters, especially when it comes to your gold. Gold Buyers of Alaska is one of the largest refiners in the state, buying placer mining material from miners across Alaska. From Nome to Coldfoot to Chicken, they've built a reputation for honest, transparent service and fast turnaround. Whether it's 3 ounces or 1,000, they've got your back with competitive pricing every single day. Ask around camp, ask a miner who they trust. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
Mary Peltola was a do-nothing congresswoman. She missed 20% of her votes and failed to pass a single bill into law. When her lower 48 Liberal Party bosses demanded that she oppose her own bill on expanding Alaska oil production, Mary Peltola cut and ran on our energy workers. She sold Alaska out. Here's Congressman Pete Stauber from Minnesota with the real story on Mary Peltola.
I served with Mary Peltola. She didn't show up for work and didn't get one bill signed into law. Worse, Peltola sponsored a bill to increase Alaska oil production, but her Liberal Party bosses objected, so she voted against her own bill and told other liberals to do the same. I've never seen a member of Congress sell out their state like this. I had to carry the bill across the finish line. Mary Peltola sided with DC liberals instead of Alaska.
I'm Dan Sullivan, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message. Join us. Give today.
Go to putalaskafirst.org. Paid for by Put Alaska First.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio here. Hope you're doing well. And boy, I thought, you know, on Wednesday when I woke up that we wouldn't have as election campaign commercials. Ah, immediately started. Now the no one too is really starting in. And don't believe them. It's all paid for by outside money. You know, and it protects more dark money than we've ever seen. Just look and see what's happened since they've implemented ranked choice voting and that information. Anyway, back to the House races. House District 36. Congratulations to Rebecca Swanky. She did really good. She got 56% versus a Crystal Jones for her first time ever running. She got 44%. And, you know, hey, you got to try sometime. This is Rebecca's second time running. So she's doing well. She's doing well. She'll probably get reelected. But let's go back to overperformers and underperformers and people who performed what they were supposed to. Maxine Dybert, a little bit of an underperformer in District 31. House District 32, Will Stapp, hey, spot on, buddy. Congratulations. House District 33 and House District 34. That's when it starts getting interesting. Mike Prox actually overperformed, if you look at it. Barbara Haney underperformed. Mike has never ran a campaign. This is his first campaign. He's never had an opponent. This is his first campaign, so he's learning as he goes, and he got a very late start. Very late start. Fundraising, signs, everything. He started at late July, first part of August. Barbara Haney, she ran in 2025. She ran in 2022 for the borough. She ran in 2025 for the borough, and she immediately started in January of 2026 running in a concentrated area, District 33, North Pole. Signs up, got the District 33 party, the officers there to endorse her, and she lost. She should have, to be a contender in District 33's general election, this was her shot. She didn't make it. She didn't make it. Let's go to District 34. So Barbara in District 33 was an underperformer. District 34, Joy Beth. This is an interesting one for me. Harmony and Joy. Harmony has the name recognition, but it never operated before. Joy had ran before, has name recognition too. So both of them, I think, performed right where they were supposed to. And it's a race. Congratulations to both. This is a race. Now, if I was a Democratic Party, I'd be getting out of District 33 and getting into District 34. You have a choice here. If I was a Republican, I'd be dropping Barbara Haney, giving her no support. Barbara, you should withdraw and take all that support and give it to District 34 to get Harmony elected. Because now you have a race. The only thing that's going to happen in District 33 is Barbara will cause dissension amongst Republicans. Mike's a very fine person. He couldn't start fundraising until, in fact, he probably had his first fundraiser last night out in North Pole. Barbara has been at this now since for 8-9 months. She should have won on Tuesday night. She didn't. Does she have the personality to say, yes, I'm not going to take any more resources from the Republican Party, and please put that to Harmony in District 34. Does she have that in her character? We will find out. Does the Pepper McFarland have in her personality? You know, you always need a person running in there in each House district. That's why Amy Moore, Jeff Rensel, thank you for running. You know, you're in tough races, but you're there, you're doing it. Pepper McFarland, the Democrats are saying, thank you for running. But now we're looking at District 34. And she's probably saying, yeah, you guys got a chance in District 34. I don't really have a chance in District 33. So District 33 and District 34 are the interior races to be watching. We're going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what are you thinking?
Well, a little earlier, I believe I heard you say that you thought Bernadette Wilson should drop out.
Yes, I did.
And I wasn't quite sure why you said that, because now she was the top vote getter of the Republicans.
Yeah, she got 10.8%. She was projected to be about 15 to 18, if not 18 to 20%. She should have been in the number two position with a lot more position, and she was an underperformer. What I'm looking at is the performers who overperformed, JKT, and the underperformer, which was Bernadette. Begich was an underperformer. He should join forces, in my opinion, my thought, he should join forces with Begich should join forces with JKT, be number two, but we'll see what happens. So that's my thoughts.
Okay, now if one of the Republicans, either Bronson or Bernadette, drops out, then Treg Taylor moves in?
Is it Treg or is it Bronson? Or Bishop? Let me take a look at the scoring here. Let's see here. We had Bishop with 7.22, and Taylor had 7.44. Yeah, so it'd be Taylor. But, you know, it's going to get interesting. Will Treg Taylor do anything to help a Republican get elected? And that's what you're looking at. I think Bronson is the best shot for the Republican Party. I think now JKT has the best shot for the Democrat Party.
Okay.
And that's just my thought.
I also prefer Bronson over Bernadette Wilson. I agree with that. I just wondered, since she got a little more votes than Bronson, I just wondered why you chose her. I guess it's because you feel that Bronson in the general would do better, and I think I agree with you there.
Yeah, I think he'd do better, but also Wilson had a year and a very underperformance. So I can't, if I was the Republican Party, I'd be looking at her saying, you did not perform like you were supposed to. I don't see you winning this. Move aside.
Okay.
Yeah. And I am not an officer in the Republican Party. I'm not a candidate. Don't intend to be. So you have an unfiltered analyst here with a political background.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, appreciate the phone call, sir. You have a great day.
Okay. Bye.
Yep. So anyway, thank you for the phone call, Randy. But Fairbanks, what do you think? Am I too critical? Am I spot on? But no matter what, this is what's going to happen. I'm inviting Libby Dalton Slain to pizza because me and her were the closest. We're the only ones who got the top, the four. They weren't in order, but we got the four. Ah, we got another phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Dave. This is Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, I've got a question. Kind of changing the subject a little bit, but you mentioned being on the board for the AHFC.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. It looks like there's a couple of land conveyances that are being considered out in the Rosie Creek area. Are you familiar with those at all?
No, I'm not. Is that a HFC or is that a University of Alaska or is that a Fairbanks North Star Borough?
No, it is the it's going to AHFC.
Well, what's happening right now is the University of Alaska is transferring some of their properties by purchase to Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. I've been more looking at the downtown Fairbanks, the old parking garage.
Okay, don't mean to interrupt you, but...
No, go ahead.
I spoke with Andrew Miller with DNR,
mm-hmm.
and he's in charge of the conveyance. And it doesn't seem like the university was ever mentioned. I had a conversation with him. His impression is that AHFC is planning on putting low or middle income housing out there. And
No, we're not. That's not a place where we would put housing. You know, we put housing in Fairbanks. To make a long story short, the Fairbanks North Star Borough shows that we have a vacancy rate in the Fairbanks North Star Borough in Fairbanks of 12-13%. Therefore, no developer has been able to get the tax credits that are available through Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Due to the fact that it shows we have a high interest rate. So you go to South Central, it goes to Valdez, got some. It went to Southeast over the last 10 years. So being on the board of AHFC, they came in, and they had some property on Denali Way there between 9th and 9th Avenue, and they put in senior housing. And that was 2 years ago. And then they went over on about 23rd, 24th, and Wilson, and they put in low and moderate affordable housing. They put 40 units there, and now those are done. We're not going to go out into the rural area of the Fairbanks North Star Borough and put housing.
Right, yeah. Well, one of my considerations for this, a lot of that land is just not suitable for development.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But go ahead.
There's no public transportation out here.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about low or middle income, I mean, you know, you're pretty much required to have a vehicle, and that might not be feasible necessarily for low income. So
and it's not on the bus route.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a long ways from town out here.
Yeah.
And there's no bike paths or walk paths or anything like that. So it's just not okay. Well, that for whatever reason, Andrew Miller there at the DNR seemed to think that that's what AHFC had planned for that, because land's going from the state over to AHFC.
Okay, not to my knowledge yet, but I'll look into it for you. Okay, buddy, appreciate the phone call, and I really actually appreciate your interest in housing in the interior. It's well needed, and I really appreciate it.
Okay, you bet.
You have a great weekend. Bye.
Okay. Bye now.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Oh, I'll meet you at the market. I'll meet you at the market. Oh, I'll meet you at the market.
The Tenino Valley Farmers Market is open Wednesdays 11 to 4, Saturdays 9 to 4, all summer long. Come find the freshest Alaska-grown produce and the finest Alaska-made products. Come see us at the Tenino Valley Farmers Market all summer long.
Oh, I'll meet you at the market.
Who doesn't want to feel strong, healthy, and confident? Fairbanks Urology understands this. Their highly trained, board-certified professionals are committed to offering urologic preventative care, education, cancer care. Concerned about urinary health? Call Fairbanks Urology. Questions about prostate cancer? Call Fairbanks Urology. No referrals necessary, and their team is proud to be part of your healthcare journey. Because strong, healthy, confident just feels great. Fairbanks Urology, corner of Cushman and 12th at fairbanksurology.com.
Looking for a way to serve your state and secure your future? The Alaska Army National Guard offers tuition assistance, career training, and part-time service with full-time benefits. Build real-world skills, earn extra income, and be a part of a team that protects Alaska when it matters most. Your adventure starts here. Talk to your local recruiter today. The Alaska Army National Guard. Live here, work here, serve here. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Care for your lawn and garden with outdoor power equipment by Honda, Husqvarna, Steel, and more. The Alaskan way, the right way, The Woodway.
KFAR Weather.
chance for showers this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 64. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for showers tonight. Lows around 47. Slight chance for isolated showers tomorrow, 66. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself on this Friday and going to have a good, enjoyable weekend. Oh, my goodness. But hey, you know, here, also, you know, I'm asking candidates that ran a good race to do something that's hard. Acknowledge the loss. You know, when I ran for mayor a second time, I think I was the only candidate who, that night I conceded, you know, hey, 250 votes down. And in fact, I surprised the newspaper and the reporters when I said, I'm conceding. And there was just a time to concede. And you don't extend it out. You ran a good race. Take the experience. Take the good things that happened during your experience. But call it that day. Don't continue to make it that there might be a change. I knew there wasn't going to be a change. The voters have spoken. If you're Tom Begich, the voters chose. Bernadette Wilson, in my opinion, the voters chose. You were supposed to be the number one Republican with 18 to 20%, and he didn't make it. In fact, very, very well short. Critical decision, not easy. Just my opinion, make that decision. Barbara Haney, you're supposed to win this local primary. They were all waiting. You know, the thought was endorse the winner. The District 33 is going to endorse the winner of the primary. We will see if the Republican Party of District 33 still obligates himself to that. That was what Tammy Wilson told me. And Tammy Wilson told me that she was going to wait to endorse Barbara after that because she expected Barbara to win. A week before the election, I think they were seeing the tea leaves. And Tammy endorsed Barbara. North Pole, solidify yourself. If you solidify yourself, you can help District 34. Do you have the spirit to do that? District 34, Democrats, you have a contender now. Congratulations. Joy Beth Cottle, congratulations. You did better than I thought you would, to tell you the truth. Harmy Tomaszewski, you did great for your first time ever. You did. This is when it gets interesting. This is why you have elections. Also, this is what happens with ranked choice voting. In a normal election, you would not have Barbara Haney still running. Gone, out, done. Are they propounding to keep ranked choice voting and live under this? We'll see. But anyway. But congratulations to Barbara. Hey, you ran a great race. I asked, you know, but there comes a time to turn it in. Ask me. I know that. I did both on state, like statewide and local after the results were in election night. You have a candidate now who finally gets to run, Mike Prox, getting stronger every day. He's walking, hitting more houses. I told him last night at his fundraiser, you have until the equinox, mid-September. After that, it's too late to walk, dark too much at night, and you're in a rural setting. Get it done now. Simple as that. he did a great job in a limited amount of time that he was afforded, especially in fundraising. What the heck? So, my analysis, mine, as it says here, these are the opinions and comments of the host. But, in my opinion, Libby, Dalton, Slane, me and you, we could pizza together, man. Out of everyone, we're the only two people who, we didn't get it right in order, but we're the only two people who got four out of the, 16, 17, 18 who were running. Congratulations, you political animal, you. You come from political lines with a wonderful mom. I come from political lines from a wonderful dad. We have it in our DNA to get this, yeah. So, I don't care what we have for pizza, but there better not be any green bell pepper on it. Simple as that. So, anyway. But, congratulations to all of them. Treg Taylor, you did a great job. You came on strong at the end. If you would have campaigned a few weeks earlier, maybe a month earlier starting, you had great experience. You'd have been a fine governor. Adam Crum, same with you. You did well. You did very well. You ran two departments, the biggest and then the one with the money that comes into the state of Alaska. You had good oversight of the state operations. You'd be a good governor. Click Bishop, you had good ideas on getting resource development going in the state of Alaska. Commissioner of Labor, good senator for 12 years. You'd have been a good governor. Sorry you didn't make it there. Good interior bent, too. Josh Church, you'd make a great lieutenant governor. Hope the best for you, buddy. I really do. Bernadette Wilson, you ran a good race. Think about calling it a day. Tom Begich, you ran a good race. No one expected you to come in second. I mean, no one. No one. Be thinking about combining with JKT to be lieutenant governor. Those are my thoughts. It's the morning after, so to speak. My philosophies. Just mine. What do you think? But, you know, time will tell. The month of September will be very telling. Oh, this is what we're going to do. I've already ran this by Perry and Glenner. Every local candidate, state candidate, federal candidate, if you're running for school board, assembly, borough assembly, city council, if you're running for state house, state senate, if you're running for governor, if you're running for senate, if you're running for Congress, state U.S. House, I'm sending you an email. I'm assigning you a date to be on Problem Corner. You can be here by in person or you can be here by phone, but everyone gets a date. If you can't make that date with all these candidates running, you're not getting a second chance. I'll send it out next week so everyone will have plenty of time to clear their calendar to be on Problem Corner for you to expound why to the listeners of Problem Corner you should be elected. It's the best I can do. Everyone gets one. No one gets a second one. Simple as that. And if you call in between, it's going to be a very quick phone call and then a hang up. Simple as that. Anyway, Fairbanks, you have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday.